the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Hi, everyone. I'm Josh Dunn.
And I'm Crystal Kessler.
And you're listening to Practical Planning, where we explore interesting topics, trends, and key drivers within the realm of financial planning. Today, our topic of conversation is about 401ks and the timeline of retirement savings. Now, we understand that not everyone has a 401k. Some individuals may work for an employer who doesn't offer one, or perhaps you are self-employed and have a SEP IRA, or perhaps you work for the government. Other retirement savings accounts could include 403bs, TSP plans, 457s, SEP IRAs, and individual retirement accounts for that matter. But for today's conversation, we're primarily going to be discussing employer-sponsored 401k plans.
So the 2020 pandemic was unlike anything the world has experienced, both in terms of magnitude, breadth, and what many economists call economic scarring. Labor markets with higher unemployment for longer periods of time, technological impacts of jobs and industries with computers replacing people, business investment and entrepreneur activity, increase in the wealth disparity, and much more. Josh, can you explain how the 2020 pandemic changed the retirement planning dynamic?
Yeah, absolutely. It really did. The pandemic greatly affected individuals planning for retirement. In fact, according to Fidelity's 2021 State of Retirement Planning Survey, 82% of Americans said the pandemic negatively impacted their retirement plans. Of that same population, 55% said their retirement goals were delayed by at least 2 years. And this has really shifted the psychology of retirement, as many individuals don't feel they've saved enough for retirement. So that, coupled with higher uncertainty about the long-term future of the U.S. economy, underlies this very important observation that individuals don't think they've saved enough. And what we've also seen last year is that savings rates have massively increased, especially in terms of retirement savings. According to a different Fidelity retirement analysis report from Q4 of last year, one-third of savers increased their savings rates in 2020. In fact, retirement contribution rates for women actually reached an all-time high.
Go us!
So not only did savings contributions increase, but individual investments did also. The second half of 2020 marked one of the most significant stock market recoveries in the past 100 years. In fact, Fidelity and Charles Schwab both saw all-time highs in the number of new 401k and IRA millionaires last year. So again, this brings us back to a very important observation within our industry, and that is that more and more individuals than ever before are asking themselves, have I saved enough? So with that, it's also important to understand, you know, that we're talking about 401ks, saving for retirement, and the timeline of retirement savings. It's really important for individuals to understand what they can control and what they can't control. So Crystal, what would be an example of some things that are out of our control?
Right. So things that are completely out of our control include market returns, because if we could control that, we would all be millionaires. And then policies regarding taxation, savings, and benefits in retirement. Things that you partially control are your employment earnings. As long as you continue to do well during your working years, you could improve your earnings, and then the duration that you're employed. Also, life longevity. So making sure that you keep up with your health and you are looking into your diet and making sure that you're having or supplying yourself with a healthy diet and continuing to exercise. So now that we've talked about what individuals have little to no control over, Josh, can you talk about things individuals can control?
Right. So there's primarily two things that most every investor has complete control over, and that is savings and asset allocation. So when we talk about savings, we're really talking about spending versus savings. And so, you know, how much to save, how much can you afford to save is really an important thing that I think every investor kind of has to work out on their own or with a financial advisor. And that is something that we do with many of our clients. I think it's also important to know what your savings priorities are. In terms of priorities, something that we tell our clients very regularly is how important it is to first and foremost have an emergency savings. So last year was a great example of why having an emergency savings is so important. And that's simply because unexpected things happen. And so having extra cash set aside for those unexpected things becomes very important. I would say the second thing in terms of savings priorities would be your long-term retirement savings accounts. So this would include things like your HSAs and even DC defined contribution plans through an employer so that you are able to participate and max out those employer matches. Again, this is free money, and I think it's one of the most important and impactful things you can do is to try and contribute the amount that's going to get you that maximum contribution from your employer. So in terms of savings priorities, again, just to review, emergency savings first, then long-term retirement savings. And then, of course, there are other savings priorities that come after that in terms of short-term savings buckets or IRAs, things of that nature. But that's just the first component of, I think, one of the things we can control. The second thing we can control is really our asset allocation. And the guiding compass in your asset allocation is really knowing your tolerance for risk and your time horizon as an individual investor. If you don't know that, again, you know, work with a financial advisor to determine, you know, what a proper asset allocation looks like. There are so many investment options available to many people within 401k programs. It's hard to know which one is right, which one is appropriate for me. So that is also something that we do. But first, Crystal, could you explain what kinds of investment options are generally offered within a 401k?
Yeah. So generally, the investment options are target date funds or index fund allocations, which you can base off of your risk tolerance. So the difference between a target date fund and an index fund, a target date fund provides easy to understand options that work reasonably well for most investors, because with target date funds, all you need to know is when you want to retire. As the target date of your retirement date approaches, fund managers within those funds, the target date funds, reduce the allocation of risky assets such as stocks, international stocks, and increase the portion of funds dedicated to less volatile assets like bonds.
So it kind of works automatically in a sense of reducing your risk exposure over time.
Exactly. You never have to tamper with it. You just leave it set to your retirement date. And then the other option is index funds. These include exchange traded funds or ETFs and mutual funds that are created to track a specific index like the S&P 500. So an S&P 500 index fund, an international stock index fund paired with a bond index fund could provide you a variety to really create a core diversified portfolio. So generally, your company will provide you with a list of these funds and you can invest your 401k into, and then you can decide what percentage of those funds you would like your monthly contributions going into.
Right. And I think in terms of 401k investment options, it seems that some companies are catching on with the simple is better. Providing less investment options, you have less of that anxiety that which one do I choose from? If you have less options, it's almost a little easier to manage in a sense. But there also are some companies that offer what's called self-directed brokerage features. So rather than just having a limited number of investment options in your 401k, you now have access to a wide swath, a wide investment universe of thousands of individual stocks and ETFs. And we understand that that can be extremely overwhelming. Which one do I choose? How should I be allocated? Well, if any of our listeners struggle with deciding which funds are best for them, whether they have a lot of options or very few investment options in their 401k, one of the services we actually offer here at Financial Sense is 401k consulting. So if your 401k plan allows for you to manage a portion of your 401k outside of your plan, We can provide you a list of investments quarterly that actually align with your risk tolerance and the current market outlook. We also offer free risk assessments to provide you with how your portfolio should be allocated according to your risk tolerance.
Yes, exactly. So never struggle with it. Also never do the eeny, meeny, miny, mo method with trying to pick your funds to invest your 401k with. Reach out to us because we can certainly help you with that. But now that we talked about things that we can control and what you can't control, let's talk about the timeline of retirement savings. So to try to easily remember how to navigate your timeline, Josh and I have come up with three individuals to help you know what to do throughout your career with your 401k. So we have early bird Edward, mid-career Michael, and happily retiring Hannah. Let's talk about early bird Edward first.
Right. So this would really include both you and I, Crystal. You know, in the early stages of our career, we're not yet in the peak earning years of our career just yet. But we also have, you know, an ability to save money. And so we also have various options on how to do that within our employer's 401k plan. I think the biggest thing for the early bird Edwards of the world is really understanding the importance and the difference between a Roth and a traditional 401k type plan. Now, some 401k providers don't offer a Roth 401k, and we'll talk about that later. But for those employers that do in fact offer a Roth 401k option, this is extremely important for, again, these early bird Edwards to understand. So Crystal, can you explain that difference to our listeners between a Roth and a traditional 401k?
Yes. So the basic difference between a traditional and a Roth 401k is when you pay your taxes. So with a traditional 401k, you make contributions with pre-tax dollars. So you get a tax break up front, helping to lower your current income tax bill. Both contributions and earnings grow tax deferred, meaning you don't pay taxes on it now until you withdraw it. At the time, withdrawals are considered to be ordinary income, and you have to pay Uncle Sam at whatever your current tax rate is. Depending on where you live, you may also have state taxes as well. However, with a Roth 401k, it's basically the reverse. So you make your contributions with after-tax dollars, meaning there's no upfront tax deduction. You pay the taxes upfront. However, withdrawals of both contributions and earnings are tax-free at age 59 and a half, as long as you've had the account open for 5 years.
Right. So it really comes down to deciding when it's better for you to pay the taxes, now or later. And for the early bird Edwards, who are very early in their careers and have a very long time horizon, having that large amount of time to build up all that tax-free growth really makes sense. So that's why, you know, I would say that Roth 401ks and Roth IRAs are most effective during the early years when you have lower relative income and longer time horizons.
Yeah, Josh, I love that you pointed out income in regards to how you should save in a 401k. There's multiple factors to consider, but one of the biggest ones that I believe is your current income and what tax bracket you're currently in. As of right now, if you are in the 24% tax bracket or below, meaning that as married filing jointly, you make $329,000 or less, or as a single, you make $164,000 or less, you should be contributing to a Roth 401k. Tax laws are set to sunset at the end of 2025, and if that occurs, the current 22% marginal tax bracket will go to 25%, and the current 24% tax bracket will go to 28%.
Right, and that's also still kind of up in the air as we now have the Biden administration working on a tax proposal that could be placed into effect later this year. But exactly, Crystal, now I think it's also important to consider if your employer doesn't offer a 401k plan at your first job, you know, what other options are available? There are plenty of other options you should consider doing. You know, other alternative saving options could include setting up a Roth IRA, or if your income is too high, maybe considering what's called a backdoor Roth account, which we'll talk about later in this podcast. But as we move on, let's transition from early bird Edward and talk about mid-career Michael. So if you're an individual in the middle part of your career, you're probably also in some of the highest earning years as well. So making pre-tax 401k contributions or traditional contributions could make sense. However, I think the important takeaway here is to really focus on the fact that based on your higher relative income and a shorter time horizon until those distribution years when you turn 72, making pre-tax contributions could actually make more financial sense.
Right. And to your point again, Josh, if you have higher relative income and you are in the 32% tax bracket or above, then using a traditional 401k and taking advantage of the income tax deduction is a smart way to go. Now to our final retirement timeline, let's talk about happily retiring Hannah.
So what to do with a previous 401k? I think this is a question we get quite often from clients who are in this stage, whether they're 6 months out from retiring or they retired and it's day one. They want to know what's next, what steps to take. This is a question that crosses everyone's mind when leaving an employer. This also applies to people who are moving jobs or transitioning from one company to another. What do I do with that old previous 401k plan? Mm-hmm. There are so many advantages and planning opportunities you can utilize by keeping your 401k assets together, which I believe not a whole lot of people are aware of. So just to list the basic advantages of holding assets in a 401k, employers most of the time will pay for the administrative expenses. There's unlimited protection from creditors under federal law. And you also have access to investment advice and more. So, you know, by combining your old 401k plan with your current 401k plan, if you're at a new company, or by rolling it over into an IRA, say if you're retired, you're less likely to forget about those old 401k plans and just continue moving on with life. So it's also important that you understand the withdrawal rules and the taxation of your retirement savings as well. So earlier we talked about a strategy called the backdoor Roth IRA. Now that I have the Roth queen here herself, Crystal, do you want to explain this to our listeners?
Yes, finally, I'd love to. So this is something that mid-career Michael, happily retiring Hannah, and anyone who makes over the Roth contribution income limit can implement. So basically, a backdoor Roth strategy is used if your income is above the Roth IRA contribution limit. To contribute to a Roth, if you're married filing jointly, your income must be less than $198,000. And if you are single, it has to be less than $125,000. So if you're no longer able to contribute directly to your Roth IRA, you can actually implement this backdoor Roth strategy. This is where you open a traditional IRA and make a non-deductible contribution of the maximum amount of $6,000. However, if you're over 50, you have a $1,000 catch-up, so your max contribution can be $7,000. Then you do a Roth conversion as soon as the next day. And you can continue this process each year for tax-free income in retirement and basically to continue contributing to a Roth. However, it's really important that you make note of that to properly do this tax-wise, make sure that each year you implement the strategy, you file tax form 8606 to keep track of your non-deductible traditional IRA contributions and how much you converted to Roth. Both of these are on the same form. If growth occurs in the traditional IRA before the conversion takes place, only the gains will be taxable at the time of the Roth conversion. So like I said, tax liability will only occur if there is growth.
Now, Crystal, I know that there is a huge reason why you should not have outside IRA assets and why we promoted earlier in the show to try to always transfer your previous 401k assets to, say, a current 401k plan if you are in, say, a job transition. Can you explain why that is?
Yes, Josh, very important. If you do hold tax-deferred IRA dollars as of 12-31, the last calendar day of the year, in the year that you make a Roth conversion, you'll be subject to taxes when making your conversion per the pro rata rule. So to break this down, I've come up with some examples. So let's talk about mid-career Michael, who never moved his 401k plan assets to his current 401k. Let's assume that mid-career Michael has $200,000 of existing pre-tax IRA funds in an IRA that he rolled over from a previous 401k plan. If Michael makes a $6,000 non-deductible contribution and then attempts to convert it, he can't just pick that individual $6,000 IRA contribution. Instead, his conversion is subject to the IRA aggregation rule, and the tax consequences are determined on a pro rata basis across all IRA accounts. So the end result, since Michael's total $6,000 non-deductible contribution is only 2.91% of his total $206,000 in IRA accounts, the conversion of the new IRA will be treated as only $174 of after-tax money, and then that remaining $5,826 of pre-tax funds are taxable at conversion. So the existence of the other IRA due to the IRA aggregation rules has eliminated Michael's ability to engage in the backdoor Roth strategy because he's going to have to pay those taxes for converting those funds. However, let's assume mid-career Michael has an IRA that did consist of old 401k assets. He's not completely out of the loop to participate in the strategy. If he can move that IRA into his current 401k plan, then this will allow him to implement the backdoor Roth strategy. So he needs to move that into his 401k plan, and then he can set up that traditional IRA, make that non-deductible contribution, and then convert those funds into a Roth, making that backdoor Roth strategy actually work.
Spoken like a true Roth queen.
Thank you.
So in summary, I mean, the main idea between Early Bird Edward, mid-career Michael, and our happily retiring Hannah and the retirement funds is really to think about, you know, who you relate to most in your career right now. And remember that these funds are going to be used for what's most important to you in retirement. It's really going to be to fund your retirement goals. So, you know, one of the goals during retirement is ideally to be in the lowest income tax bracket as possible. Ideally, the earlier you can start saving for retirement, the better, of course. So in the beginning of your working career, you know, it's going to be really important for those early bird Edwards to save as much as possible and to do it in a tax-free vehicle like a Roth 401k. Make sure that you're contributing to an HSA and then Roth IRAs if 401ks aren't applicable or if you can do extra while in the lower income earning years of your life. Now, you know, in the middle of your career, you may want to speak with an accountant or a tax advisor about whether shifting your retirement contributions to a traditional from a Roth 401k is right for you. Ideally, in this stage of life, you'll most likely be in a higher income tax bracket. So it may make sense to take advantage of the tax breaks of a traditional 401k. And lastly, for the happily retiring Hannahs of the world, you've hopefully done a great job of working hard and saving a lot of money for your retirement. So at this stage, it's really ideal to protect the money you've worked so hard to save and to make it last as long as possible through proper asset allocation and potential tax mitigation strategies.
Exactly. And by keeping assets within your 401k, there are so many advantages plus tax strategies that you can implement down the road, like the backdoor Roth throughout your career. If you'd like more information on if you can implement these strategies or just talk about some of the services that we offer at Financial Sense, you can reach me at 858-217-8147, or you can email me at crystal.kestler@financialsense.com, which is crystal.kessler@financialsense.com. Josh, how can they reach you?
Right. So if anybody is interested in whether it's 401k consulting or any of the things that we talked about today, please feel free to reach out to me as well at 858 217 8137, or you can email me at josh.nunn, N-U-N-N, at financialsense.com. Well, with that in mind, we're out of time. Until practical planning returns, we hope you have a fantastic week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.